have everyone here. It's our family Sunday, and as someone before me said, remember every week we've got the Afrikaans service at 8:30 and then the English at 10:30. In between we have coffee and tea, something to nibble on, something to eat, sometime to spend a bit of fellowship with someone. And we always also want to invite you next week, same time, same place. We will have, actually next week we will have only one church service. Pastor Andre Creer is one of our regional directors of Shofar in the Eastern Cape and Natal. He will be preaching here. So please come and join us, listening to Pastor Andre. And I also want to, before he leaves, where's Gustav? I want to call Gustav. I believe all of you, everyone that's been in church for a while, will know this this friend of ours, the son. Gustav is one of those faithful people, and obviously he's got a beautiful name. You know, my father's name is Gustav, and my one son's name is Gustav, and my fourth name. Yes, you didn't know that. My fourth name is Gustav as well. So Gustav, you've got a wonderful name. And I remember in 2009 when Gustav came to church and started to join us, became part of the family. It's been now a while, and you know, seasons come and things go, and Gustav really felt it's time for him for a new season. So he's moving to that cold, rainy place. I heard there's a lot of snow as well. It's called Stellenbosch. Gustav is going to move at the end of September. And I just want to honor you, Gustav, for the way you have been a small group facilitator, playing this worship team. When we moved to Seyderhof and we had to do the setup, how hard you worked. Many other places you served in church. And I think everyone who know this man will know his character and the fruits of his life. And this morning, I just want to maybe call one of the elders, Aaron or Reinald, if you can come and stand with me. I really want to pray for him. In a sense, there's a little bit of sorrow, you know, having to see someone go. But we know God wants to take us from glory to glory. And Gustav, our wish, our heart for you is to have a wonderful season there in Shofar in Stellenbosch, and really to with your work and the things on your heart, God will really bless you. So this morning, we just want to pray for him. We want to send him. And those of us who move down to a convergence at the end of the month, you will be there as well. And I trust Gustav will every winter come and visit us. Maybe he will come and hunt here and so forth. But Gustav, it's been awesome to have you here. And may God bless you in this new season. Amen. Yes, Lord God, thank you for this son in the house, Lord God, a man that was planted here, Lord God. And thank you for the beautiful fruits of his life, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, where Gustav is many times a man of not so many words, Lord, but those words of his, Lord. Thank you for the depth in his character, Lord God. Thank you for his godliness, Lord God. Thank you for the way he served in church, in small group, the worship team, intercession, so many places, Lord God. And Father, this morning we want to pray for him and pray, Lord God, that, yes, Lord God, this new season will be a wonderful season for him, that it will be glorious, Lord God, and that your hand will be with him, Lord God, that he will be the head and not the tail, Lord God. And yes, Lord God, and Stellenbosch, Lord, that he will be planted there, that it will be the beginning of a wonderful new season in his life, Lord God. That, yes, Father, that you will take him from glory to glory, Lord God. Thank you for what he left behind in so many ways, his legacy, his friendship, Lord God. And yes, Lord, we just want to bless the son. In Jesus' name. Amen. Good stuff. Awesome. Okay, so it's great to have all of you guys here. We've got a few visitors as well. Visitors from Swakopmund and people that's been on missions and people that remember that the time is changing and maybe some didn't. I don't know. It's a really good. But those of you who know me quite well, maybe you didn't know my fourth name was Gustav as well, but something that you will probably know is you won't catch me in a t-shirt too often, just not my style. Not saying there's anything wrong with that. If you're wearing a t-shirt today, that's no problem. But these t-shirts are our Let's Go t-shirts, and with the whole world on it. And if you've been in church the past few months or the past few years, you will see in June this year we had a mission team or a Let's Go team from where was it? Paul and Pretoria and Stellenbosch and the fourth one, I think, from Worcester. People visiting us here, ministering here. And then in our region as well, between Windhoek and the Swakopmund, in May, we went to the north. We went to the Kavango and the Caprivi and to Zambia. And that was really a blessing. And this time around, the past long weekend, we went to Rundu. We were about 25 people between the two churches. And I think there was about 8 or 9 kids as well. Yes, you can take kids along. And no adults or kids were caught by crocodiles, fortunately. There was a few, I'm not sure if it was brave or stupid guys that did swim in the Kavango River, but fortunately everyone came back safely. One of the little girls, she lost a shoe, and we were trying with the boat back and forth, trying to get the shoe. We were all on a type of the Saturday afternoon on a type of a cruise or a thing. And the next moment, before I can rebuke my friend, I saw Richard from Soccer Moon taking off his shirt and jumps into the river and get the shoe. And you know, he was the hero. And then later he went a bit kayaking, and when he came back, his eyes were quite big, and he said, about 8 meters from where he jumped into the river, there was a massive crocodile. So God definitely spared his life. And some of us, the river were quite low, but a few guys did have the courage to swim. But as I said, all came back safely. But you know, the Rundu weekend was really a blessing. It was really an awesome experience. I think the Sunday afternoon, we went the Thursday morning, came back the Sunday. And I think the Sunday afternoon, when we did a bit of, when we reflected a bit on the weekend, you know, just listening to the people, the testimonies, what people shared, what I, in a sense, got out of it, you know, I feel it was such a wonderful weekend, you know. And that's why it says, let's go. Okay, you would have noticed, those of you who have been in Chofa for 5 or 10 or more years, we always talked about missions, but in a sense, it's still missions, but the name changed a little bit to let's go. So let's go come from the Great Commission where Jesus said we must go. And it was basically a weekend where we really spend a lot of time together. And my fellow pastor, Yaku, you know, he really made a few calls. I've got a lot of respect for his leadership, especially that we had to braai at least once every day. That was a very good decision on a weekend like that. But, you know, we went and we've got two people there, Karl and Isaac, that's been part of the family for quite a season. And we really went to bless them and really to, we were trying, starting in the process to plant a small group there and to really lift them up and encourage a bit. We went to Vungu Vungu and some of the villages close to Rundu where some people will share just a little bit now. We did some outreach there and we went to preach in the church with the name The Church in Rundu as well. And you know, many times when you want to do a bit of scouting and see what's happening, you know, it doesn't work to do it from your living room. It's good to go to Rundu. It was really hot, windy, dusty, but an awesome experience. And just before I'm going to continue with my sermon, I just want to ask Paul, and I also saw Maggie slipping in here. They are going to quickly share just a little bit. We went to a hospital as well. And, you know, I just want you guys, Paul, Maggie, please come. Then you can come and share something about the weekend. I just want you guys to see what happened. And I really feel we're going to challenge everyone next year. I believe there's going to be a mission weekend, whether long or short, at least every term once. So I want to encourage you. As I said, there were, I think, 8 kids under the age of 7 years old. So that's not an excuse. Amen. I'm going to give first to the lady. Okay, the lady's going to share first.
Morning, church. I was a bit late to take my mother to the airport. My apologies. My name is Maggie, as Pastor Carl just said. To me, for missions, what stood out is, okay, firstly, I couldn't fully participate because when you're there, you have to, you know, there are certain family duties you have to adhere to. They don't care who you came with. If your uncle or your mother says, now you have to show up and do this, you just have to do it. But what stood out for me was we went to the hospital in Rundu, in the town itself. And firstly, when I went there, I think my faith was boosted a lot because you sort of get to a point where you become so familiar with God, maybe because sometimes you prayed for things and they didn't happen. So you know God is real, but you think, ah, but can he really heal the sick? So we went there, me and a few people from our church, like Friedrich and his wife, and some people from Swakopmund and so on. So now we're going there, and we went in the mornings, and I knew visiting hours is like around 3. So already that was challenging in itself. We weren't sure if they were going to let us in. And then eventually when we got there, like I was busy talking now to the people in my broken Kavango language, since I don't speak it so frequently. So now they're trying to convince them that they need to let us in so that we can just pray for the sick. And they were talking about how they've had such bad experiences with these new churches, they call it, that come there and they make noise and they tell the people to stand up and walk and no one is walking. They're not in the mood for all of that. So the whole time they're busy talking to me in Kavango language, I'm looking at the back and the whole Shofar team is like ready to pray and I'm there all nervous, like, oh God, what am I going to do? You know, what am I going to tell these people? So then we just told the people, okay, fine, if we're not allowed to go to the wards, we'll just pray for the people that are there, you know, that are like lined up. waiting to see a doctor and nurse. So then they allowed us to do that. So now you're thinking, okay, if we pray for these people and they don't get healed, then now we're also screwed, you know? Like, what are we going to do? So we decide we're going to pray. Now I'm confused. Do I translate to these people? Because they... I was probably the only black person in that team. So obviously all the white people don't speak Kavango. And I'm thinking, do I pray for the people or do I translate? Like, what am I going to do? So now we're there and then we start praying for the people. And funny things is, miracles started happening. Okay, Tanidora was also there, two black people. She can't speak Kavango either. So now we're there and we're praying. And then Auntie Dora will call me like, ask this lady, ask her if she still has a migraine. And then she'll tell me in Kavango like, no, my head is not sore anymore. So I'm like, mm-mm. So I'll ask her in our language, like, listen, these people don't speak Kavango. Tell me the truth. Are you really healed? You know, because you're there. You're also like thinking, there's no way. I saw you were dizzy. You couldn't walk properly. And then they just couldn't believe it. And then word started to spread in the queue. And then they'll tell me in Kavango, like, come tell your people. They must also come and pray for me. So now I'm like confused. People are already praying here. And word was just moving. Like, people were literally getting healed. I still can't believe it up to today. Like, my faith was boosted to another level. And this one specific lady that stood out for us, she was dizzy. She's been having dizzy spells for months and blackouts. Like, she'll just faint. And then she came to the hospital. They put on a gurney. She was on a drip. And she was there with her little girl. Because apparently her relatives are now sick and tired. Every time she blacks out, then someone has to take care of the child. They decided, you are taking your child with you to the hospital. We've had enough. So they go there and she's lying there, and Auntie Doris and this other lady, Anka from Swakopo, praying for him and laying as like proper praying. I'm not even lying to you. They're there praying, praying, praying. And then I gave her my number, and then she was like, her headache was gone. She said she's not feeling sick anymore, but she's still feeling a bit dizzy. So then I was like, okay, just take my number, because she's like, where's your church? I want to come there now. And I'm like, oh, we don't really have a church here yet. Now you also have to explain to people that there's no chauffeur in Rundu. So then like around 3 p.m, I completely forgot the hospital experience. She calls me and she's like, I've been discharged. I'm completely healed. I'm walking. I took my daughter. We're going home. And she just kept on talking. And I'm just standing there like, are you sure? You know what I mean? Like asking her over and over to confirm. But so many people would send texts later on. I was getting confused because we also met people at the village. Who is this? Is this from the hospital or from the village? And I like, so many testimonies are just raining in. I still can't believe it up to today because they're still stalking me on my phone.
Yeah, amen. It was also a privilege for me to go along. It's the first time in about 5 years that I've gone on an outreach since I've been at Stellenbosch. And so I really feel, I was talking to somebody yesterday, it's just awesome for me. I think it's really going to be something that it's part of the culture of Windhoek Shofar as well, because being in Stellenbosch, it was part of our culture. And I think that's especially why it's so important for us, irregardless of what we hear and what we see and all the little things that we now hear, which is so awesome. But I think in a bigger picture, that's the thing, the heart of our church is to fulfill the Great Commission, because a church shouldn't be something new, and Jesus established everything. We should just go out and fulfill that command which he has given us. And I feel that's why we went. And I was speaking to one of my great friends from Hostelers here, and we were speaking yesterday about family and how big it is. And standing here this morning, you know, that's why we went to Rundu, because of two people in one sense. Because two people, part of our family, is staying there on their own. So 25 people went out for a long weekend to go and support them. So that for me, in a sense, it was funny because I was like, Friday I was a bit out of it. And I was just like, Lord, what am I doing here? And I just started questioning God, you know. I don't really feel, because all the people are praying. And I really felt God saying, well, tomorrow morning it's fine. A lot of people are going to get healed, but you're not going to go. And I was like, okay, great. So everybody went, so Carl started dividing up the team. So I didn't speak to him. And he's like, okay, Paul, you're on the prayer team. So I was like, okay, great. So I'm going to pray. And, you know, obviously it's not something that you immediately see. But it was such a relief, you know, spending that whole day with Saki and Carla, the two people that we went to support. And we prayed at their firm and at their house. And I just sat there and it's like, God, this is so worth it. This is why I came, just for that. So I really want to encourage you guys as we go into the future and in the heart of the mission team. I mean, that's the end of it. Sitting here this morning, what a privilege to have family. And, you know, there's a lot of awesome people here sitting. And I can just imagine for them how it meant, how much it meant for 25 people to take off a long weekend, which there was probably so many other things to do, to say, listen, but we still are with you guys. You are in our prayers. And we still know that God is working in your life. Amen.
It was Carla's birthday on the Saturday. Now, living in Rundu, 700 kilometers from here, she really felt quite overwhelmed to have a whole team there just for her birthday. That was quite special. We've got a video clip that we also want to show you, but unfortunately, it's stuck somewhere in a satellite, somewhere between Swakopmund And yeah, Richard was trying the whole day yesterday to upload it, and for some reason, technology demon or something, or a satellite went astray and it didn't work out. So we will next Sunday, we will show you the clip of the weekend and everything we did and so forth. And yeah, it was really awesome. So this morning, I want to share a little bit, and obviously with the Rundu weekend fresh in our heads, you know, I really feel like celebrating missions. As I say, you know, probably all the teams that we received here over the past years and months has been such a blessing to us. You know, it's been such a blessing to see the guys from Pretoria or from Paul or Worcester, you know, coming all the way. And he's a nachmal sapi, thank you, Paul. And to really be part of what something God is doing, you know. And many times when we stay at home, that's awesome. We need the people at home to pray and intercede and cover us in prayer. But you know, when we go, we see many things like this. And you know, having two different churches in a sense going, you know, the unity and stuff was amazing, you know, just to fellowship together as well. So this morning, the scripture that I want to start with and really want to share, it's been on my heart for probably for 2 weeks, is from Zechariah 4, verse 1 to 6. And I want to read it to you. It will be there on the board as well. And the angel who talked with me came again and woke me, like a man who is awakened out of his sleep. And he said to me, "What do you see?" I said, "I see and behold, a lampstand, all of gold, with a bowl on top of it, and seven lamps on it, with seven lips on each of the lamps that are on the top of it. And there are two olive trees by it, one on the right of the bowl and the other on its left." And I said to the angel who talked with me, "What are these, my Lord?" Then the angel who talked with me answered and said to me, "Do you not know what these are?" I said, "No, my Lord." And then in verse 6, then he said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts." Now, as I said, that is something that has been on my heart before we even left for Rundu. And I remember the Sunday afternoon sitting there with Karl and Isaac. They were the first couple I married, me and Vinduk. And so I've got obviously a special place in my heart for them. And you know, we were the Sunday afternoon just talking a bit about the weekend. And obviously before the time, we have talked a lot about the plan and program, and something that I really believe was very significant is, you know, we prayed a lot there, we interceded, and just to see what came out of the intercession and stuff that the Lord has already shown them, you know, was there was a lot of agreement in that. And something I got this scripture, even as I said before we left for Rundu, and there as well. And you know, we were talking the afternoon, and I said to Carla, you know, on behalf of me and Yaku, we're clueless here. You know, we're definitely not in control. It's not a definite step 1, 2, 3. You know, there's a lot of Rundu is those of you who've been there, you know, in a sense, don't get me wrong, shoot me now. I'm saying this in a rude way, but you know, it's got a bit of a small town mentality. You know, it's the type of thing, I just picked it up, you know, if this guy is going to church, then that guy isn't going to church. And you know, there's a lot of division, and there's obviously it's quite far from here. And the moment you move outside Rundu, you know, you run into a lot of challenges. People are extremely poor. And if you read the newspapers, you will see people, they are really struck very hard with the current drought and stuff. But, you know, I was sitting there and I was saying to Carla, listen, this and this and that. And we talked about Bible school and we talked about small group. And I said to her, but listen, there's no definite step 1, 2, 3 here. Now, in terms of starting a small group, planting a church, you heard Maggie, usually when stuff happens, people want to know, so where we go to, what's now next, you know, where do we go to, do you have a church or something? And obviously, we're working with a bigger picture, we're working with something that's really been on our hearts since May that we were there the first time. And the thing that I could tell them is, you know, as I said, we're not in control yet, it's not a definite few steps we're going to take and things are going to work out. And I shared the scripture with him that I had on my heart, and I said to him, listen, guys, this is going to be by the Spirit. This is definitely not going to be by might or by power. And I think if you're honest, I'll be honest, and I can tell you this morning, I got it wrong a lot of times. Doing things not by the Spirit, but trying to do it by power or might. Who of you have done that before and ran into a brick wall? Thank you for a lot of honest people. You know, many times, I'm not allowed to make too much jokes, but I think it will be a tough scripture for the Blue Bulls, you know, because they just want to do things with power and might crash into something. But forgive me for that. I just had to knock them this morning. Please forgive me. But you see, this is something we see from Scripture. It's something we see from Scripture very often. You know, I think when Moses and the Israelites, they were standing there at the Red Sea, and, you know, with the Egyptian army chasing them, you know, the Red Sea opening up. There's so many examples. You know, that was a situation of not power and might. That was a situation not like when Moses said, okay, guys, turn your backs. We're going to fight these guys. Okay, they were probably, they were slaves. So they were not soldiers in that sense. But there was something where God intervened, and by the might of His Spirit, things changed, you know. You probably all, there was, you can look at the Jericho walls, Gideon and his men, Paul and Silas in jail. There's so many examples where we will see stuff not happening just in the natural, just by, in terms of being strong. You know, so sometimes we need to do something, let's say in the flesh. When we make coffee and tea at for the after church, you know, that's something we do in the natural. But many spiritual things, you know, we need to discern what the Lord is telling to us. We need to be sensitive, like this morning when two people came and shared words. You know, what is God saying to us right now, right here? So two things I want to share with you, two scriptures. The one is from Galatians 5, verse 16, and the other one is from Galatians, also Galatians 5, verse 25. You probably know them quite well, but I just want to touch on them because I'm moving somewhere and I really feel this is what we have to take home. This is what we need to have in our hearts today and currently. Galatians 5, verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. You know, and that is something, being in church now for quite a while and seeing many things and working with people, etc. You know, it's tough. The flesh is always there, and it's always something we have to fight with. It's always something, you know, it's where the Spirit leads us. Paul is also talking in Galatians 5 about the fruit of the Spirit, things we all know. Now, I had a battle last night at about 2 o'clock because I didn't voluntarily listen to the Heart of Windhoek. I am living in Olympia, so they just blow the music all over the whole neighborhood, in a sense. Who else were angry about that, in a sense? Was it only me? No, there's other people lifting their hands, at least. You know, so if you live in Olympia, then you had the Heart of Windhoek Music Festival all for free, if you want to hear or not. But, you know, and then you feel like the fruits of the Spirit. No, I don't feel too patient or too filled with love. Someone is being selfish right now. Someone is making music, but I have to listen to it. Closing a window doesn't work. But nevertheless, you know, so Paul, when Paul is writing here and he says, walk by the Spirit, you know, that's a few words. It sounds really not that complicated, but I believe, and I know it's a challenge for us. Now, to walk by the Spirit implies both direction and empowerment. If we walk by the Spirit, it means we don't walk in the natural. We walk by the Spirit, okay? The Holy Spirit. We are body, soul, and spirit, Scripture says. Okay, so we need to be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. So, and that direction, and that is something challenging, you know. Sometimes we will say to each other, but, you know, I'm not going to do this or that because I don't feel like it. Or maybe you will say, because I don't have peace about it. But what is God saying to you right now? You know, what me and you, it's like fasting. Or if I can share, when was it, 8 or 6 or 7 years ago, the first time, you know, I had a fear to go on missions because of two reasons. And that's, I was also in Shofar Stellenbosch with a lot of students. And the one was the fasting. You know, I thought like, yeah, fasting, that's going to be a tough one. And the other one was the mission dances, you know, preparing a type of a skit. You know, I'm really not very good or talented in the dancing area. Maybe that's because I'm not wearing T-shirts. I don't know. Maybe I should wear it more often and it will help a little bit. But you see, I know I had to go. I know I had to go on missions. That was what I felt at that stage the Lord was telling me. Even though my flesh and many other things in my heart was saying, maybe not this year, maybe next time or something like that. But we, if we walk by the Spirit, we need to be sensitive to the direction, you know, where God is guiding us. And that's so easy to miss that. Because I think our natural way of doing is we want to do things by power or by might. We want to be in control and say, we're going to plant a church by January next year, and this and this and that going to happen. And, you know, if that is what God is saying, we will do it. But we need to be sensitive to where God is leading us right now. And that can be to take on another ministry in church. It can be to move to another town. There's many examples. You will know in your own life what the challenge are right now in terms of walking by the Spirit and the direction. You know, and then secondly, that's empowerment. You know, when we walk by the Spirit, there must be fruits of that. You know, when we obey God, and as I said, I think it's challenging. Sometimes if you look like a guy like Jonah, God was speaking to him, but very clearly he didn't want to go to Nineveh, you know. He didn't want to go there. And eventually he went there, and we saw the whole city repent and the beautiful fruits of just obeying God's voice at that stage. So making decisions and making choices, we need to do it by the Holy Spirit's guidance. Then in Galatians 5, verse 25, it almost sounds the same. Let me read just verse 16 again. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Then in Galatians 5:25, it almost sounds the same. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. You know, and if you study it a bit, it says in the original Greek, there's actually a different verb used. So this time it talks a little bit more like in a military way, or like maybe in sports or in any other place where there's a hierarchy, you know, to walk after the person leading. You know, so here Paul is writing and he's saying, listen, walk after the Spirit, you know, stay in step with him, but especially where he's leading us. You know, and as a church, we don't want to do just the shotgun approach, you know. We don't just want to shoot and say, okay, well, Rundu seems to like a nice place to go. There's a river and it's almost like they skip a season, you know. It's almost like summer temperatures. I don't know, Maggie, spring doesn't happen in Rundu, according to me. She says, no, you go directly from a mild winter to summer. But you see, to live by the Spirit and to keep in step with the Spirit. You know, it's so beautiful when I meet with people and spend time, and you know, I hear people saying, I'm doing this or that because I feel that's where God is, what God is saying to me. I feel that is where God is leading me right now. And I mean, Jesus sent or gave us the ultimate example, probably. He always said, not my will, but the Father's will. What I'm only going to do, I'm only going to say what I see the Father do. And I think it's a challenge to our flesh. That's that place where we have to say, we need to crucify our own flesh. You know, there's many examples, I think you might think of a few in your own life, where we definitely had to say, let's take something for like intercession, for instance. You know, 6 o'clock on a Tuesday morning, coming together to pray for the city, for our church, for our believers, hearing what God is saying to us. That's early, you know. You need to wake up, you need to drive, or things like that. But that's where you say, Lord, this is now not just about what feels nice to me, but about, you know, something where you're guiding me. And I mean, there's many different ministries in church, whether you come here on a Saturday afternoon and set the table for the coffee and the tea, or whether you maybe come and practice on a Saturday afternoon and the Sunday morning early in the worship band, whatever you do, whatever your ministry is, you know, there's a bit of a price to pay, there's a bit of a cost involved. And this morning, if we say to each other, not by power nor by might, but by my Spirit, you know, in our own lives, for us as a church as well, then we need to be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. Now, a while ago, I sent a few emails out to a lot of the, especially the young men in church, and I, you know, just talking to them, doing a bit of discipleship, and I asked the question, you know, just to be honest and to work through a few things. You know, do you pray about 15 minutes consecutively? What is our word? Achtereenvolgend, you know. Do you pray just once a day? And just to listen to guys' responses, not knocking anyone, you know, it's tough sometimes. You know, sometimes people are busy, or we think we're busy, but we have to make time. So if you're not making time and you're not sensitive to what the Spirit say, how are you going to stay in step with the Spirit? How are you going to discern, God, shall I go to Stellenbosch? Shall I take another job? Etc. You know, we need to be really sensitive to those things. And I can say out of my own life and experience, I know I missed it a few times. Just because of, in a sense, rushing into something, doing it by power or by might. Or thinking, you know, I'm gifted in this area. Maybe you can think, I'm just the example, Saskia, don't. You know, maybe I can lead worship today, but I'm a very talented musician, so I can just do it out of my own capacity. But that's usually where we miss it. That's usually where we don't connect. That's where we don't get it right. Now, also a scripture that just came to my heart so strongly again, and I remember as we were giving the feedback that Sunday, that was one of the ladies that shared the devotion one of the mornings. You know, she said, you know, that was after we were in one of the villages playing with the children, praying for people, handing out stuff. You know, she said she was in a sense so overwhelmed with all the people. And I'm going to be honest, it's our country, so we better know what's going on. It's about 30% of the kids there is orphans, you know. If you look at the unemployment in those villages, things are tough, you know. Things are really tough. And then she was just talking and reflecting and sharing a little bit. But she said, but you know what, guys? I know my God is bigger. My God is bigger than this. I know this is huge challenges. I mean, there's a variety of challenges, but I know my God is bigger than this. Okay. And this is exactly a very well-known scripture. I just had it in my heart. 1 Samuel 17, verse 45. Then David said to the Philistine, "You came to me with the sword and with the spear and with the javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of armies of Israel, whom you have defied." You see, so that is that place of coming to that giant in many ways. You know, David fighting that giant and not doing it by power or by might. Because in that sense, I think there wouldn't have been a King David. You know, there wouldn't have been an offspring. That giant probably would have wasted him if he tried to do it in his own strength. You know, but what he says here, "I'm coming to you in the name of Jesus. I'm coming to you with my God. I know my God is bigger than this." And I think for many of us, as we sit here this morning, you might think of your family, your marriage, things at work, your children, whatever it might be. And I believe there's always giants in our lives. You know, and just being a person myself and working with people, and I mean, you all work with people. You know, people constantly... constantly have met massive battles that we need to fight in our lives. If that wasn't the case, people wouldn't jump off bridges, people wouldn't take overdoses of pills or stuff like that. That's just because we feel sometimes this giant in our lives are so much bigger. You know, the people in some parts of our country, we might think like, how will we get to them? How will we let's go and reach out and really as the church be able to make an impact? To hear more of the testimonies that Maggie and Paul have just shared right now. Now, I want to share something else with you without going in too much detail. And who are the watchmen in church? I think Prisca isn't here. Tracy is one. You saw the emails the week. So in our church group, we've got a lot of churches in South Africa and maybe the UK. We've got something what we call, let's say, the watchman's block. That is where all the people, all the watchmen, all the people, the real people that are really gifted in the area of intercession. You know, if someone feel every church has got about three people on that platform, if I can put it like that, and then, you know, if someone get a word or a dream or something that we really feel is for us as a church group, you know, it's posted there, and we got one of those on Tuesday, and then, you know, Pastor Fred said, "Okay, guys, let's pray about this. Let's see what the Lord is showing us." Remember, staying in step with the Spirit. And then it was so amazing. I think we got about 8 responses of different people, either dreaming kind of the same thing or getting like an interpretation, you know, seeing, "I feel the Lord is showing to me this." Now I'm talking about people from Namibia to Ceres to Paul to Pretoria, people not being connected in the flesh or the natural, you know. And that's always the beauty of seeing God speaking to His church, you know. Then we know... you know, God is saying something to us. And just in this context of going on missions, this has been the first year us as a church here in Windhoek has been on missions. We've gone twice. I trust really that next year we will all be wearing T-shirts, whether you like it or not. There will be opportunity at least once every term to go to a short or a longer mission trip and reach out. But in that message, we clearly saw, you know, there's that old thing about something coming to deceive, something coming to destroy. And we really need to be watchful. We really need to discern. Some people had warning dreams already last year about, you know, that same old fight coming. Now, that's nothing new. Scripture says there's nothing new under the sun. Go and read Thessalonians or Book of Revelation, and you will see those things have been happening all the time. But right here, right now, the thing is just that's important to us as a church, or whether you're the strong man of your family at home, where you work, is to be able to discern, to see what is happening, what is happening around us right now. And the one thing that I really could see was standing out with a lot of the responses, was people said, this fight is not in the flesh, it's in the spirit. Now you might say, yes, Pastor, we know that. That is not rocket science. But you see, it's like the word. Most of us sitting here know it quite well. But it's about obeying it. Let me read you a quote. I'm actually going now way out of my preparation. If you would see, if you're not receiving the Shofar Global newsletter, speak to Debbie or Esther at the end, and we will send it to you. And there's a very nice, interesting article that Pastor Henny Swart, he's the champion of the Stellenbosch Theological Institute and the dean of our Bible school, that he wrote in the latest newsletter. And I just wanted to read a quote to you from what he said by ending off. He said, I think it's going to be up there as well. You can have a look, guys. It says, the crux of the issue then, okay, sorry, let me just give you a quick introduction. It's about, you know, the biblical literacy in the bigger church today around the world really dropping. You know, the average Christian spent more time in terms of doing other things than really studying Scripture. And then he gives the example of one of the older believers, you know, one of our friends from Oxford that travels quite a lot. And he said, you know, previously, or 20, 30 years ago, 30, 40 years ago maybe, when he visited churches and he prayed with the elders, you could hear them quoting Scripture. But today, he said, you can pick up there's a decline. You know, people are tempted, in a sense, to quote less Scripture. So it's going about biblical literacy dropping, in a sense. And he just said the following, the crux of the issue then is not necessarily technology or our current culture. We're not blaming technology. But how eager we are to obey God's word. We can thoroughly study God's word without obeying it, but we cannot thoroughly obey God's word without studying it. So we need to spend time on the word. We need to make sure, you know, if you are a young believer here and you maybe feel you're not hearing God's voice so clearly, you will see the more you read Scripture, you'll see the more the Holy Spirit can remind you of Scripture. He can give you Scripture and you'll see the puzzle fitting together, coming together. So just a little bit, just back to the dream and the warning type of thing. You know, it goes for reading Scripture, it goes for praying, you know. Being sharp, staying in step with the Spirit, listening to what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. And this morning we've been, my watch is still on 10 o'clock, but I know it's a bit later. But one or two things also that I want to share is just as we go as a church, scripture I got early this morning when I was praying, it's not going to be up there, it's from Matthew 11, verse 12. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. And we can know, you know, if you try to move, go to India, go to Asia, go to many of those places with an outward focus, in terms of, you know, Christianity, not just visiting there, you will pick up that resistance. You will see it's not just a walk in the park. Otherwise, probably the whole world would have been Christians by now. There's definitely a fight. There's definitely something that we need to contend with. We also see it in those well-known scriptures in Ephesians 6, verse 11 and 12, where Paul is writing, and it just says, For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. And you know, if you are sensitive, you will see, or I've just picked up again as we went to Rundu, and I mean, it was a family vision, it was a family mission, it was really not that militaristic in a sense. We didn't have to wake up 5 o'clock in the morning and those type of things. But you see, something's got to give. And if you I just felt so strongly, you know, the Lord said to us, not by power nor by might, but by my spirit. It's something as we fight that battle to break some ground. You know, it's almost like if you ever try to run in water this deep, you know, you will see it's tough. You can run in on this floor quite faster. Try to run in water, it's going to hold you back. And as the kingdom is trying to make progress, we will always feel there's something fighting against us. I'm going to start to end off here because I actually got quite a lot more, but I'll maybe break it up to for next week as well. Just one or two scriptures I still want to read to you that I had on my heart. And it's from Isaiah 22:22. And the keys of the house of David I will lay upon his shoulder. He shall open and no one shall shut. And he shall shut and no one shall open. And then also in Matthew 16, verse 19, very similar, Jesus speaking here, and he's speaking here to Peter, and he says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. And then lastly, we see it also there in Revelation 3, verse 7, and the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, and he who is holy, who is true, who has the keys of David, will open and no one will shut. And who shuts, no one will open. And it's just talking to us about Jesus being, you know, we must, it's so, I just came to my mind again yesterday. You know, we can be late. We can miss stuff. But God can never be late, okay? He lives in a different area of time than us. You know, he lives in eternity. God can never be late. Okay, God is sovereign. That means, you know, whatever God decides must happen right now, that will happen. God is king over everything, okay? We sometimes run into walls and we fight with stuff, but God sees things from a different place, from a different perspective. And this is just speaking to us about opportunities and about open doors. And, you know, before we went to Rundu, we fasted, we prayed, we made sure, listen, we're not just running into something. And these scriptures that I've shared with you now lastly, you know, they're just talking about something. And we need to be sensitive about how God is wielding or maneuvering seasons in a sense. If we look at the dark ages, you know, then the church was really stuck. Then Martin Luther, Calvin, all these guys came. There was a lot of progress. The past 100 years, the Pentecostal, the charismatic church, things really went forward again. But now if you look at the stats, in especially Europe, you'll see going back to almost to the second century, going back to the dark ages, people dying in the shadow of a church, of a cathedral, not knowing Jesus Christ. Okay, so we've got this opportunity. We've got this place as the church of Jesus Christ to listen where Jesus is opening something, where he's shutting. Sometimes we need to be clever and we need to be obedient where Jesus say, don't go here, you know. We see it in the book of Acts, you know, where the Spirit was restricting some of the apostles at certain stages to go to certain places. But there where the door is open, there where that key has been turned, you know, there's an open door for us as the church. There's the open door for us to pursue. And a scripture that you will also probably know quite well, something that I really believe is such a powerful commissioning scripture for us as the church, Acts 1 verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now actually, if you go to the next slide, you will see there's a few bullets. And there's a few things that means to us. I'm not going to talk about all of them right now. I'm just going to highlight one of those, or maybe two. I love teaching. But basically, when we get the Holy Spirit, you know, then we become efficient and effective in ministry. But we need to stay in step with the Spirit. Yes, and our thing is not by power nor by might, but by the Spirit. And then this third bullet, that's the one that I really had on my heart. And I believe that is the one that is connecting to what Tracy and Reinald have shared a little bit earlier. And that is the power for victory over sin. If I look at the message of those dreams we got, you know, it's so important, friends, to walk away from certain things in our lives. And that is where we do need a bit of the fear of God. you know, where we need to say, I know I'm battling with this thing, but I know I need to get it out of my life. I know I need to deal with this. And I'm saying it all over again, but not by power nor by might, but by my spirit. Many of us have tried and tried and tried to get certain things out of our lives. Who of you have, in your own strength, got something right in terms of deliverance of sin? We're not supposed to. We're not supposed to do it that way. I really feel, the thing that I actually wanted to preach on this sermon changed so many times, but the thing, I'm not going to go there, don't worry, is I really had Revelation 2 and 3 on my heart, where Jesus was talking, about the seven churches and giving different advice and saying, listen, you are doing well in this area, you're doing bad in this area. But you know, it was five of those seven churches that something was wrong with. I think it's Philadelphia, one of the other churches where something wasn't wrong in terms of the corporate church. And four out of the five solutions to dealing with that problem, according to Scripture, was what? To repent. To repent. To stop doing something. To get something right in your heart. Something right in the heart of the church. In terms of the DNA. You know, and this morning, and there's going to be opportunity just now, I really feel that sometimes, you know, you would have probably heard the way some people talk, we've got all our pet sins. Yeah, you know, I battle with this or I do that, but it's just because, you know, this or that happened sometime in my life. But I really feel, friends, it's time for us to get those things out of our system. There's a place where we need to stand up and say, Lord, I can't win this battle. I've been fighting this thing for 6 months or 6 years or how long, you know? And I'm talking to myself, I'm talking to us as a church, because that is what Scripture is saying to us. And as I said, one thing that stood like a tree above water or something, that in that letter where all the responses of the different people praying, is that we need to discern and we need to be sharp in the spirit. Okay, now if we are in sin many times, you know, I think it's almost the picture I see is like having a black bag over your head, you know. Then you are so caught up in feeling guilty or doing this or that, and you almost kind of lose, let's say, of where you are standing and what is happening in your life, okay? So I want this morning, without talking any more in that sense, I really want us all to go home, okay? And I want you to go and maybe for homework, go and read Revelation 2 and 3 where it speaks of those different churches and where Jesus is basically having like a scorecard and saying, this you guys are doing right, this you are doing wrong. And for us as a church, we all together make the church. But have a look at those things. And then this morning, I believe, well, I think, and I know many times, all of us are facing a type of a giant. You know, all of us are facing something right now in your life where you need to deal with. It just varies. Sometimes it's huge. Sometimes it's average. Sometimes you feel things are going your way and it's a bit better until another thing happens. And then you see, listen, I'm not going to win this fight in my own strength. So for us as a church, for us as believers this morning, friends, go and meditate that. Not by power, nor by might, but by my spirit. Whatever we do, we need to do it from a place of having that in our hearts. Can we all stand this morning, please?